It's Marketplace Tech for December 23rd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. It hasn't been a great week for Twitter. The company's chief technology officer, Adam Messinger, along with its VP of product, Josh McFarlane, announced this week they are leaving the company. This follows chief operating officer Adam Bain stepping down last month. What does this sort of exodus mean for Twitter specifically and companies generally? Joining me now to speak about this is Ben Schachter, an analyst with Macquarie. Hi, Ben. What does it mean when executives leave all at once like this?
No, I think it's fairly straightforward that if things are going very well at your workplace, you don't tend to leave, particularly if you have a lot of stock or a lot of options that are potentially going to be worth more money if things really do turn around.
Can you talk very big picture about where the company's at, what its remaining challenges are, and how it can go forward as a public firm?
And to me, the main problem is this is a management team that believes they are the big number three player behind Google and Facebook in terms of online advertising. And the truth is, we believe that it is somewhat of a niche application. It's actually very good for real-time news, and obviously with the president-elect using it as his sounding board, it's getting a lot more attention. But the fact is, it simply does not generate that much usage that really would give it a reason to be the big number three. And that is, from the business point of view, the clear problem.
How does Twitter solve it?
You know, what we've always said is that they should really tamper down their expectations and their ambition. They don't necessarily need to be the big number three online advertising player. What they need to be is an excellent place for real-time news. But do they need to have advertisers come directly to them to buy ads? Can they partner with other ad networks? We think those are the things they can do to make it a more stable company. Basically, slim down their expectations and their ambitions of what they want to be. Don't try to compete with Google and Facebook, which are much bigger than you are, and focus on what you're good at, which is real-time news and generating usage around that.
Ben Schachter, analyst with Macquarie. Ben, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
We may not yet know what the year 2017 will bring in terms of technology, but your listener support of Marketplace guarantees we'll all be better informed and better prepared, flying cars or not. Make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. It's Silicon Tally time. Our guest today is Tom Merritt, co-host of the podcast Daily Tech News Show and generally awesome person. Tom, are you ready to play the game where we try to stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news? Are you ready?
I would like nothing more, Ben.
All right. 16 cars.
16 cars is the number of cars Uber was testing on the streets of San Francisco?
This is correct. This is the number of self-driving cars Uber has removed from the streets of San Francisco this week after the California DMV revoked their registration because they had not been properly permitted. Does that mean the DMV wins?
When you look at the fact that Uber is testing these in Pittsburgh with no issues with the state, it almost feels like Uber's trying to press an issue. And their response made a point of saying they will work for something like better regulations. So I feel like Uber is trying to change the permitting process here.
It's a trap.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's a little Admiral Akbar.
All right, what do you got for me?
I have the number 100 hours.
100 hours is the amount of community service that some tech CEO had to do after doing something stupid.
And I suppose the answer that I have could be seen in that way to a certain extent. It's the amount of hours Mark Zuckerberg says he spent programming his virtual personal assistant that he calls Jarvis.
Yes, Jarvis. This was a really interesting video this week that I watched, but it also had a part where he ate toast with nothing on it that Jarvis had toasted for him. That was really weird to me. The toast with no butter. What did you think of that video? Obviously, you've seen it.
Yeah, I like the idea that a CEO of a tech company is still taking some time to just do coding for himself, and certainly something that could cascade down to his company.
Still doing the coding work, even though most of his life is maybe full of meetings. All right, one postal service.
What's what we have here in the United States, one postal service. I don't think that's right, though.
But what I'm looking for is the French Postal Service, which is going to start delivering packages using drones.
Right.
For the beginning, the drones will only work on a prescribed 9-mile route once a week in the southern region of Provence. It's seen as a feasibility test for the technology, apparently. Are we in the future? Is the future now?
Yeah, we've shifted from can they do that to when will it become common?
A question for the future. Tom Merritt, he's co-host of the podcast Daily Tech News Show. Tom, thank you very much for playing along.
Thank you, Ben.
We were just talking about Uber and the California DMV parting ways there. Well, guess what? It looks like Uber is moving its self-driving car tests to Arizona. The company says it'll begin testing its vehicles in the state capital of Phoenix early next year. The Grand Canyon State's current Republican governor, Doug Ducey, tweeted that the situation in California was what, quote, overregulation looks like. And this week, our Codebreaker podcast episode is all about encryption, about how it's folded into our everyday lives, how it's defined, how it works. And one of our conversations is with Malkia Cyril. She is the executive director of the Center for Media Justice. She says activists, especially Black Lives Matter activists, need to protect themselves with encryption.
Throughout history, Black dissidents has been discouraged. Black dissidents has been criminalized. So today in the 21st century, at a time when Black voices are rising, Black people are saying that our lives have meaning, our futures matter. We want to see this country invest, right, in justice and freedom and in our ability to stay alive, you know, most basically. And under those conditions, Black dissidents must be protected. It's very clear to anybody who's paying any attention that the FBI of today is not very different from the FBI of the late 1960s, at least in its relationship to Black dissidents. It polices Black dissidents. It criminalizes Black dissidents. And so Black Lives Matter activists more than ever need to encrypt.
Much more of our Codebreaker conversation about encryption at the website codebreaker.codes. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.